Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, for your Hot Seat Edition Wednesday. In today's topic, we're going to talk about the church and the secularization. And as usual, I have some thoughts I need to share out loud with you for this new culture of wickedness that's infiltrated America and the West. So, with that said, folks, stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. And now to take a short break from the show to keep my promise and bring an awareness to the situation in Afghanistan, where we have 9 to 15,000 American citizens who have been abandoned after the disastrous withdrawal efforts by the Biden administration. The statement that these Americans chose to stay there by Biden himself is a lie from the pits of hell. He, along with other globalist leaders, would rather deflect their attention elsewhere and manipulate the rest of Americans to follow suit. However, the reality is that they are still in harm's way. These Americans have loved ones awaiting for their return and our government to make a concentrated effort to do so. This is obviously too inconvenient for our current administration, but we have to hold our leaders accountable. So, this is a special shout out to those Americans and reminding them that people like myself know the reality and the truth of the situation. They are not forgotten. And if there's someone out there who has a loved one stuck in Afghanistan, or you're one of those people stuck in Afghanistan, you happen to hear this by one in a millionth chance, please direct message me through Instagram at Kenjin_Express. I repeat, Kenjin_Express. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine. Then you get Kenjin, one word, _Express. If there's any way, and I mean it, any way I can help and pass on to my audience to bring awareness to the situation and speed up the process to bring you guys home, this is the best I can do. This is the only thing I know how to do, how I can help. But I'll continue to do this until there is a concentrated effort to bring them home. Lastly, to my audience out there who don't fall in that boat, don't forget to pray for their families, their loved ones' safety, and return home. And now, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, for your Hot Seat Edition. And, folks, there are some thoughts I need to share out loud with you concerning the secularization of the church, a culture of wickedness. Because this past weekend, there was a short clip of children with parents present, being exposed to a, air quote, family-friendly drag queen show. Out of all the places, Dallas, Texas. And on one of the walls, a sign stated, "It's not going to lick itself." That was my drag queen voice, in case you didn't catch that. But there was outrage from the public, and rightfully so. However, there was an interview done at the same place with all the drag queens and their supporters expressing how they believe this should become more mainstream, that they wanted more children to become drag queens, inspire them to become drag queens. And if this exposure was a way to accomplish this feat, then it was progress for the LGBTQ community. Many of the dissenters cannot comprehend how society has gotten to the point where we can't even agree that this is grooming. In the same manner that we wouldn't take minors to strip clubs. It's time to retrace our steps. Because there is a growing number of people who are concluding that the slippery slope fallacies concerning legalization of gay marriage was right. Gay conservatives included. Many are starting to see when same-sex marriage was federalized, it was the beginning of a downward spiral. The very one religious conservatives warned about at the time, while everyone else dismissed it. That said, we must go back even further and pivot to the talking point from last week, removing God from the home, considering the mass killings. Removing the religious influence that created a strong moral fabric to our society. It was never perfect, as humans have the tendency to corrupt religious teachings, such as the Christian Bible. However, there was a sentiment of reliance on this influence, not hostility towards it. America today has become a nation that condones wickedness. But we will take it a step further this week. the secularization of the West didn't start in the home, but in the church. There was a nationwide survey which found that only 37% of American pastors have a biblical worldview. Pastors. 41% being senior pastors, 28% being associate pastors. When you break this down to child and youth pastors, it lands at 12 and 13%. The lowest percentage of all pastoral positions with a biblical worldview were executive pastors, being at 4%. Granted, I'm not aware of some of these pastoral positions and the nuances of how each of them vary, but one thing cannot be overlooked. These numbers are shockingly low for people who are supposed to be shepherds, who are supposed to shepherd their sheep and point them back to God, back to Jesus. It is no wonder that only 17% of Christians in America have a biblical worldview. You may be curious, though, as to what constitutes a biblical worldview in the eyes of those who created the survey. Well, let me tell you, for context, according to the study by Barna, the standards for having such a paradigm are believing that absolute moral truth exists, that the Bible is 100% accurate in all the principles it teaches, that Satan is considered to be a real force, not merely symbolic, that a person cannot earn their way to heaven through works, that Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life, and that God is the all-knowing and powerful creator of the world who still rules the universe today. Guys, that is a low bar set. To the naked eye, you might think this would be a feasible basic standard to meet. Unfortunately, the majority of Christians, pastors included, have blended biblical principles with other forms of spirituality, which is known as centrism. If that went over your head, just like it did for me, as I could not pronounce that word to save my life, the church has placed humanity on a pedestal over God when it comes to morality, bringing the very first commandment of the Ten. It is very clear throughout Scripture that the church is to be the salt and light of the world. Christians are called to be set apart from the world through the renewing of our minds. However, when we look around what is happening to our society today, how many of us can genuinely say that there's no distinction between Christians and non-Christians? There are even Christians who are hostile to any sense of biblical accountability because it challenges their earthly paradigm. Which, to be frank, nobody enjoys being told their way of living is wrong. It's human nature to turn away from that voice. Yet Christianity challenges humanity to confront those shortcomings instead of running away. I myself deal with it still to this day. If leaders in the church aren't willing to shepherd their sheep back to Christ, then the church will become useless, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. If you read this or hear this and claim to be a follower of Christ, I ask you to join me in reflecting on what have each of us done individually to create this culture of wickedness. I myself am guilty of this as well. There's no denying at this point that we have become far removed from the days when the world called America a Christian nation. Anything that is apart from God is, by definition, satanic and wicked. There are more missionaries being sent to America than any other nation for a reason. It starts with the men in the church. It is our duty, our calling to be leaders in the home, manifesting into our communities. The wickedness has reached our children. It is time for the church to repent. For those who don't understand, change of mind, and answer the calling to be faithful again. The church is called to remain faithful to Christ, regardless of whether the world repents or not. Do not let inclusive talking points be a deterrent from taking action against demonic acts, such as children being exposed to drag queen shows. The deterioration of the moral fabric in America is our responsibility to resolve. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break.
And now to sponsor myself,
Me, that's right. I have absolutely no money to be made off this. Just getting the word out. Now, if you've ever wondered where I get my Thinking Out Loud monologues from, well, I'm glad you asked, because they're just my articles from my Substack newsletters. Just type in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com. I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. Then you can follow me on Instagram, Getter, TikTok, and soon, Truth Social at Kenjin_Express. I repeat, Kenjin_Express. Then last but not least, you can follow me on Facebook. Type in taboo topic in the search bar. Look for the logo that says honesty equals understanding. There's two episodes a week. I have a hot seat edition where I scrutinize an opinion or story, popular or unpopular. Do my research so to provoke thought. Remember, that also comes with an article on Substack, so don't forget about that, on Wednesdays. Then on Friday, we go over current events, where I pick 2 to 4 stories I found interesting, and hopefully you do as well. Possibly more if I have a guest, then there's a good conversation so we can cover as many bases as possible, so you, the audience, have less holes to fill in understanding the truth. That's 2 episodes a week, guaranteed, which you can listen to this show on any platform from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, and more. So stay up to date and tune in. Don't forget to leave a review either. If it's less than a 5-star, let me know so I can better serve you. Here on this show, we dare to think out loud and question the narrative. Free speech triumphs your safe space, because in order for us to think, we have to risk being offensive. If we want to have true peace in our society, we have to be able to be honest with each other. If we can be honest with each other, then we'll have a true understanding that will lead to real peace. Amen? All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. Folks, what were your thoughts on the monologue? Did you agree with my thoughts? Disagree with it? Did you hate it? Did you think it was fire? Let me know through the social media platforms, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Getter, Truth Social. I'm on all social media platforms, so you can't really, there's really no excuse. Kenja_Express. Come on. But let me also go ahead and start the show off by asking you this. Did you ever think we would have these conversations? Did you think we would ever have a disagreement about whether or not kids should be exposed to drag queen shows? Did you ever think we would see parents bringing their kids to drag queen events? Men dressing up as women? Provocatively dancing? Did you ever think we would have these conversations? Did you ever think we would have to have a conversation about whether or not we should have a law to ban these kind of events for children? Or for children to be exposed to these kind of events, I should say? How many would say they saw this coming? I didn't see this coming, at least from an earthly standpoint point of view. Not because I believe the Bible and God is 100% accurate in its teachings and principles. When I read the Bible, I'm not surprised that we've gotten to this point, because every time the Bible talks about humanity placing themselves on a pedestal and claim to know better than God about what is right and wrong, it always leads to chaos. So by that standard, I'm not surprised. Are you surprised, Christian? And I guess I should be asking the 17% of all Christians and the 37% of pastors and 13% of youth pastors who have that biblical worldview, are you surprised that we've reached this point? Are you surprised by the numbers? Are you surprised by how low the bar was set to have a biblical worldview? And the reason why I even brought that up was because a friend of mine, I shared that data with someone else, and a friend of mine was like, I wonder, and she was like, I wonder what was the person's idea, the person who created the survey, what was their definition of having a biblical worldview? And when you looked into it, it's basic. Can you get to heaven through your own merits? No. Is the Bible 100% true and accurate in its teachings and principle? Yes. Is God the creator of the universe and it's still in control? Still rules to this day? Yes. Things you would think that even on a leadership level, pastors of all kinds, specifically the Christian pastor, you would think they would have those beliefs. But they don't. And I don't really know why. I would like to know more. But I can genuinely say I don't know why. But I think it's a perfect time for that minority of Christians to talk to our fellow brothers and sisters who are in that majority who do not have a biblical worldview and point to them what's going on around them and then refer them back to Scripture and say, look what humanity does every time we place ourselves on a pedestal and claim to know we know more about what is right and wrong than God Himself, the creator of the universe. Are you seeing a pattern that's started from the days God created the earth, created the universe? Are you starting to see the pattern? Are you right by placing yourself on a pedestal to know more than the Bible, God's word, so more than God Himself? I'd be very curious to see where in history, church history, especially the West and America, when did the secularization really begin? Because when I see events such as that, what I hear or when I talk about, or when people talk about, talk about mass killings with the recent increase of mass shootings in suburban America, when I see those things, I can't help but think to myself, with those numbers, it's not surprising. It's not surprising that church seems to be largely absent at this point because the voices who have that biblical worldview have gotten so small. The majority of Christians, if anything, are living a lukewarm lifestyle. And in case you don't understand what lukewarm is, let's think of it as being apathetic to Scripture, being neutral. God thinks that's worse than anything else. Lukewarm Christians is not something God endorses. He'd rather you either be on board or off the ship. There is no in between. But many Christians have taken that path, and that's why they have this blended worldview of applying some biblical concepts with other forms of spirituality, religions. And I'll ask those Christians, how has that worked out? How has more or less taking a passive approach worked out in our culture? As a matter of fact, I would venture to say the majority of Christians who do not have the biblical worldview would probably have an issue with the drag queen event, for example. The vast majority would probably do. But, however, where were you the years before then? See, as I mentioned in the monologue, this is a time also that I want to invite all believers who at least believe that Christ is the only way to heaven, only way to get right with God, to have a moment and think how each individual, the person in the mirror, has contributed to a point in society where we can't even agree whether or not exposing kids to drag queen shows is grooming into pedophilia. And if you have a problem with me calling that a grooming and pedophilia, then stop promoting it. Stop behaving like one. Stop condoning it. That's the bigger issue than me calling someone a pedophile or groomer. And yes, those parents who expose those kids to that event are groomers at that point. They're sexually exploiting their children. In the same manner, we would not want them to be sexually exposed to a strip club. Could you imagine? And I'm not going to put it past that this would be a conversation we're going to have some point in the future. But can you imagine having a conversation about what constitutes as a family-friendly strip club? Could you imagine? Now, there's some points as far as people who have defended drag queen shows. They have made points as far as parents don't seem to have issue with sexual exploitation when it comes to other issues such as bringing their kids to Hooters. Or bringing their kids to a football game where cheerleaders are half naked, more or less. And to their credit, I acknowledge that there's credit to that argument. There's merit to that argument. I think we should have a conversation about that as well. At the same time, their job is not to provocatively dance. They're not stuffing dollar signs, throwing dollar signs at Hooters waitresses, nor at cheerleaders. The whole purpose of going to those things is totally different. Well, at least for the cheerleaders portion, not so much the Hooters. I think the Hooters is more of a male hormonal thing, but that's beside the point. But again, we can have a conversation about that, but that doesn't excuse children being exposed to drag queen events. Doesn't it? And don't twist this either into I'm homophobic, transphobic for being against children being exposed to this. If you think that's what makes me homophobic and transphobic, I'll wear that with a badge of honor. That term has been watered down so much that I can't even disagree with the idea that marriage is between a man and woman, because I believe it's a religious institution. That constitutes me as a homophobic now. Me believing that there's two genders and that gender dysphoria is a real mental health disorder is transphobic. I can tell you what homophobia looks like because I was truly homophobic once. I'll admit it. Kendrew was once homophobic. I was freshman in high school. I was just getting out of the era, along with the rest of society. We were transitioning in 2011 from having the paradigm of ostracizing people with same-sex attraction to letting them be honest, giving them that safe space, letting them pursue that lifestyle without prejudice from other people. But I had a friend who I had a crush on, actually, and she had a crush on me, but I was too stupid to even imagine a girl would even like me at the time. But she came out to me and said she was bisexual. Bisexual, someone who likes both genders. But you know what I responded with to her? And I regret this to this day. I told her, "You're one of the reasons why this country is going to crap." And she cried. I did that. That's homophobia. I did that. I'm not proud of it. And by one million chance, she hears this, I'm sorry I ever said that to you. We were still friends afterwards, and she, again, it was kind of like a game of cat and mouse, but that's a totally different story. But regardless, the term has been watered down so much, it means nothing anymore. Just like racism. You could be for the Constitution, it'd be labeled a racist or a white supremacist now. Doesn't mean anything anymore. But all that said, if the church is not willing to take a stand at any moment, then we will be trampled on. Now, as long as God is in control, Christianity will always exist until the day Jesus returns. But our job right now, especially for those who have that biblical worldview, that minority, now is the time to step up. Because God calls us to at least prepare for when Jesus does return. And it starts with, again, looking ourselves in the mirror and asking, what have we done that's contributed to this culture? When was the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Or someone you knew and loved? I'll be the first one to admit it. It's been a minute since I've shared the gospel with someone. It's been a minute. And part of it is because I'm not that active in the church right now. I go to Sunday sermons, but that's about it. And I mentioned last week, that's something I need to work on. So that's me acknowledging one of my weak points that have contributed to this problem. Now I'm asking you, what are some parts in your life that you can do differently to at least help slowly reverse the trend? And it's a slow process. Listen, how we got to this point was generations. And so to get out of this position, to get out of this point where we're having these conversations and debates, is it going to take generations to reverse? But again, it doesn't mean we don't try to do something now. You know, I was talking to one of my friends who's going to school for ministry, trying to be an ordained pastor, youth pastor, excuse me. And I told him, because we've had conversations about starting a podcast with him being in charge, being the lead, because that was his world. And I just kind of would be there more of a, I'll be the co-host, but coming more from a congregate perspective. But I told him, like, when we saw those numbers, I told him, like, hey, man, having this podcast, starting this podcast is more important than ever. We talk about it. We see these numbers. What are we going to do about it? It's more important than ever to have the small portion of Christians who have that biblical worldview and promote biblical values and principles to our fellow brothers and sisters and encourage them that it's okay to say that the Bible is the absolute standard of truth. It's more than true. It's a manifestation of truth, as Jordan Peterson mentioned it, calls it, and he's not even a Christian or not even proclaimed Christian, excuse me. That's a manifestation of truth that is worth a hill dying on. Are you going to be perfect? Am I going to be perfect? Absolutely not. We're going to fail, but failure is a part of life. Failure is an opportunity to learn from your mistakes and to get back up and persevere. the first greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You know what God says about love? God says, God calls it or describes it as its perseverance. So when you fall, if you love God, you're going to get back up again and persevere towards him. Persevere to his will. Persevere to his grace and truth. We don't just stay down and walk away. That's not love. We are to be loyal to him only and first and foremost. Priorities. And this episode is starting to sound more like a church sermon. And for those who are non-religious, listen. If you're non-religious listening to this episode, let me ask you something. And I'm being serious. Can you really tell sometimes who's Christian, who's not Christian? Do you have people that call themselves Christians, but they don't act like it? And let me tell you something. I will admit that a lot of times non-Christians know more about the Bible than Christians do. And they see that hypocrisy. They see how they're not living up to the standards. And it's not because, and not in the sense that they're not living up to the standards and they're trying, but they're choosing not to try. How many times have you encountered those Christians? As a matter of fact, a lot of non-believers at times will use that as a justification to not believe in God. Our actions sometimes deter someone from being open to at least listening to what we have to say about the gospel. And I can tell you one story as well, that once upon a time, I had a friend. I told him I was Christian, and he laughed at me. I was a senior in high school. And he's like, stop messing around. And I was trying to tell him, like, no, I'm being serious. I am a Christian. That was his initial reaction. He laughed at me. Because the way I was acting in those moments, when I was around him, I didn't act like one. You couldn't tell. I was that lukewarm Christian. And there's been other seasons in my life where you can't tell I'm a Christian. And that's my fault. That's nobody else's but mine. I'm responsible for being a coward and not pursuing God with all my heart, mind, and soul. Not standing by in this truth and instead just going off of my own fleshly and earthly desires, my own convenience. It's easier to sit on the sidelines and do nothing than it is to be in the arena, be in the ring, and take those punches from the world. And then letting God be your coach so you know where to punch back and how to fight back against the satanic rule at this point. And I'll venture to say that small majority of people who have a biblical worldview in the Christian community, they could tell you the same thing. They've had those seasons where they've cowered. They decide to just sit in the sidelines. That's human nature. But Christianity calls us to confront our nature and face it head on so we can grow from it and we can become stronger spiritually. And when we become stronger spiritually, we become more dependent, especially as a man, Christian men. We become more dependent. Dependable, excuse me. We become more dependable as a people to rely on as a source for wisdom of what is right and wrong, what is appropriate, what's not appropriate, what's ethical, what's not ethical. We used to be that voice. We used to be that backbone of the fabric of society when it came to morality. Not anymore. It starts with us, Christians. To the pastors out there who do not share this biblical worldview, who do not even meet those basic standards that I've mentioned in the monologue and during this soapbox. To those pastors out there, I'll pray for you. And I really hope that there's some people in your life that are going to hold you accountable. I hope the congregation in your church starts holding you accountable. And I hope that your heart opens and softens. Your heart of stone gets removed to the heart of flesh and is open to that accountability so you can make that correction. There's a correction that needs to take place. I'm tired of seeing these stories. I'm done seeing these stories. I'm done even seeing stories from the church about how there's one pastor, or I think it was a bishop in Florida, that was about to have a drag queen event during a church sermon. I'm tired of seeing those kind of stories. It shouldn't even be a debate. No wonder the world doesn't take us seriously. It's our fault. We have nobody else to blame but ourselves. And if there are certain private matters in your life, certain sins, some strongholds in your life that you need to deal with it yourself, I've got mine as well. If you have those strongholds that's deterring you from thinking that you deserve to even call yourself a Christian, dive in head on. Listen, that's what the enemy wants. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to have that guilt. He wants you to have that shame. He wants you to feel as though you're not worthy enough to come back to God and persevere Him despite you falling down. God is telling you to get back up in the same way that Jesus asked Peter to trust Him when He walked on water. Let us not be a Peter in this scenario. And to the non-Christians who made it this far into the episode, if there's any Christians you should listen to, it's that minority right there. If you hear Christians and they don't sound different from you, they're not the ones you should be seeking wisdom from. Talk to the pastors. Talk to your friends who have that biblical worldview, who are in that minority. Listen to them. Those are the ones you should listen to. They're the ones who have their heads straight. And I don't mean to sound prideful either. I'm just being honest about what I'm seeing. I want to get back to a point where we don't have these conversations anymore. Where we don't have a conversation about whether or not it's appropriate to even use the rainbow as a symbol for the LGBT community. When that rainbow was originally a promise from God, they would never destroy again after the wickedness of man, of humanity created. I don't want that irony anymore. Stay tuned. We'll be back to close things out. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. Thanks again for tuning into today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope it was thought-provoking as usual. And by all means, folks, join me in prayer and that the people in the church, we come to repentance and turn back to God, back to faithfulness. So I know this is, and if you're someone out there who's non-religious, by all means, listen. Again, as Grace and I pointed out last week, you don't have to be religious or believe in God to at least agree with the principles it's teaching, to agree with the biblical moral standards that it talks about. It's not hateful. If anything, true love is having boundaries. And if there's no boundaries, it's not love anymore. So, with that said, folks, until next time, God bless.